said it, Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. So to come on the program, former state senator Rusty Glover, running for state auditor. We'll catch up with him, find out how the campaign is going. Before we join get our next guest on the line here, let's rapid fire through some text. Told you that is Ricky's burner phone. Let's see here. Billy, the unfriendly or not really friendly Democrat. Good show today. Appreciate the honesty of your position. Tough job today. Even Trump learned the anti-vaxxers would rather take horse medicine instead of changing an opinion or listening to their doctor. I guess. Thank you, Billy. Josh, doctor/nurse bedside manner suck to begin with. It's horrible to think it could get worse. As it is with non-vaccinated people. I tell you what, healthcare in this country, I think, is, you know, there's a lot of distrust, and it's not as, it doesn't seem as plentiful. You try to get you try to just go for a physical or something, and you're like waiting a month for an appointment. It's really leaves much to be desired, but, I don't know where that goes, but I think the fatal error, it all started with Obamacare in 2010. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He's very kind to come on whenever we ask. State Senator Jim McClendon of Springville on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Jeff. How are you doing?
I am living the dream, as they say, or at least for right now, surviving the dream. How are you doing?
I'm COVID-free.
Yeah, and people may not realize you had a real scare with COVID in 2020 that, you know, it sidelined you for a bit, but it sounds to me like you really want to, you're really masking up and taking this Delta variant seriously.
I am taking it very seriously, and in fact, most people that have been in the hospital or been seriously ill with it, they take it seriously too.
Yeah, are you know somebody, you lost somebody you know? I mean, are somebody has gotten it? I mean, it's a real thing, and I find this, that there's no denying it's a real thing. It's just there seems to be a lot of mistrust with the remedy, that these vaccines, and I don't I feel like our policymakers, our health experts aren't doing a good job in really understanding what you need to do to win the trust of the unvaccinated and get them to get vaccinated, because it becomes a political game or a shame game, and that's not going to work.
Well, you know, the last, I'd say for 2 or 3 months at least, we've been getting the statistics back out of hospitalizations and the percentages of people that are hospitalized that are vaccinated and that are not vaccinated. And that's pretty strong evidence that the vaccine, it may not totally prevent a recurrence of the problem or initiating the problem, but it certainly does mitigate the impact of it. The percentage of fatalities, percentage of hospital admissions, and percentage of serious illness is much lower if you've had the vaccine. Now, these are facts, and this is not something put out by the government. This is information that's published by the hospitals. UAB publishes every day the number of COVID patients that are hospitalized and the percentage of them that have been vaccinated and not vaccinated. And, you know, you don't. I don't know what kind of conspiracy theories could ignore the clear statistical evidence of the effectiveness of the vaccine. I don't get it.
But isn't it the job to not mandate or use authority to get people to take the vaccine, but try to convince them? And obviously, I mean, you bring up the statistics. That's not working. There's something flawed in the approach here. And it may just be a general distrust of government that is always going to be part of this discussion. But it, you know, if your objective is to get more people vaccinated, what you're doing right now, while we're, you know, trying to make this case, it doesn't seem to be working as well as it should be.
Well, I don't know what's left to do other than give people the facts of how well it's working and the impact of failure to get the vaccine. When you give people the truth and you give them the evidence, and it's not coming out of Fauci, it's coming out of people we know and respect their opinion. And when folks are willing to get that information, I tell you what, it makes me wonder how many people read, I was going to say read the paper. You know, in my case, it's reading my iPhone. But these are live cases of people in our own neighborhoods. They're dying. And it's a real thing. And I guess if you want to roll the dice, that's what you're doing. I think everybody out there is susceptible to COVID. But you can reduce that susceptibility a great deal and reduce the impact, even if you do get COVID, by having that vaccine on board.
Well, and just try to understand. I think there's something to be said about this, though, that it's a lot of young people that I don't know that it's a distrust or an outright anti-vax rejection or whatever. I just think a lot of people think, well, I'll be fine. I'm young. I'm healthy. I never been sick before. Why is this time any different? I'm still here today. That they don't. Maybe it doesn't really. They haven't been confronted by it, and they think of themselves as different. Therefore, why even go through the trouble? It seems like it's a logistical nightmare. You got to go sign up or wait in line, and I got better things to do. I'm busy. That there is a mentality out there that you got to overcome, and I don't know how you do that, but I mean, I think looking at it from other perspectives and trying to understand the psychology here is probably helpful.
Well, it could not be any more convenient getting a vaccine. I mean, you know, we've got drive-through locations. You don't have to get out of your car to do these things, and it's free. So I don't know that that's a valid argument. There's something here that I certainly don't understand, and but I do understand that people have a right to turn this down if that's what they want to do, but why anyone would turn it down, I don't know. Didn't you try to have some discussion on your program about why people object to this? Didn't you ask that question and throw it out to see what kind of responses you'd get?
Yeah, and it varies. It's just distrust of institutions, and I think that's a real problem that has got to be addressed in this country at some point. But, you know, institutions, our elite institutions, have misled us. And then I think the other part of this, for whatever reason, the left in this country and the media have made this a partisan political issue, and they made it seem like dumb, stupid Republicans versus smart, elitist Democrats. And, you know, while that they think that might be helping, it also harms. It also makes people think, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not going to get the shot. And I know that's simplistic, and I know it's probably silly, but the truth is it's a real thing, and that's something that does it to me. That doesn't seem like you got to be willing to address that and acknowledge that and put that aside, but I don't know how you do that. But they really poisoned the well when they made it partisan and political.
Yeah, and that's true, and that never should have happened. And you know, Dr. Fauci is—he's hard to like, and as a spokesman and advocate from in Washington, where we don't trust anybody to speak of. But you know, we had it at the Trump rally the other night. Former President Trump—he's a believer. He got the shot, so I don't know, Jeff. I don't know how to turn this around because I don't understand the mentality. People get prescribed drugs all the time, and they don't turn to their doctor and say, well, what's in that? people get tattoos, and they don't say, what's in that ink? And is it FDA approved? No, it's not FDA approved, but they get the tattoos. So there's something else going on.
Well, it leads me to my next question for you, though. And you and I are brainstorming here and trying to think about this, but don't we pay people in government? Don't we have a Department of Public Health? I assumed it's well financed or well funded. They're the ones that need to think these things out and talk about them. But when you watch Dr. Harris, I'm not begrudging him, but I do think that the response leaves much to be desired. And I'm almost to where you are here on the whole health apparatus. Well, we just need to start all over, because what we have in place doesn't really seem to function that well.
Yeah, Dr. Harris is easy to shoot at, because he's sort of the voice here in Alabama and the face. And he's just been delivering a lot of bad news lately, but it's accurate news. And I could be more critical if I could just come up with some good ideas and tell him how to do his job better. I don't think I can do that. I've sure thought about it. Different places have offered lotteries where you can make some money by doing it. I don't know that those things have been effective. I tell you where I've gotten on this. I'm going to take care of me and my family, and then everybody else is out there on their own. If they want to get a shot, let them. I'm all for it. I would encourage them. But I don't think it'll do any good to encourage people. They got to figure it out by themselves.
Well, one of your colleagues, Dr. Stutz, up in the Shoals, he said that it was misguided from the beginning. They tried a top-down approach, one kind of like authority figure, or a couple, right? You know, Governor Ivey and Dr. Scott. Well, but he thinks that they should have really worked the local health care, you know, your local doctor, that they should have gone to more of a grassroots level and sold it to them. And but when people go get their checkup or whatever, hey, while you're here, get this vaccine. That would have gotten those numbers in a much better place than they are right now.
Well, I agree 100%, because that's what you and I both do. We go to the doctor and he says, here, you need to take this or have a shot. I don't question him. I say, where you want to put the shot? I don't ask him what's inside it. I assume he knows what he's doing. That's why I go to him. So I believe that's the case. Now, you mentioned earlier, a lot of young people think they're invulnerable, that they don't, that they're not going to get sick. They may not be going to see their primary physician as frequently as others of us are. They may not have even had an encounter lately, except maybe to get your physical exam to get admitted into the university or something.
Yeah, and that certainly hurts numbers. I mean, I'm bad about going to the doctor on a regular basis, but if not for the, you know, just I think for me it was like the idea of not wanting to wear the goofy mask anymore, so I'm going to go and get the shot. It's stuff like that. Everybody has a different reason. There's just, I guess to be said, there's not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's no magic bullet here that you're going to have to figure out the psychological elements. But I just think overall you could tell there's a lot of mistrust in our institutions. That has to be fixed.
Yeah, I wish I could fix it. You want to talk about redistricting?
Let's get to that. We got a few minutes left here. You got census data in. Where are you now in the process of reapportionment?
Well, we're finally getting cranked up. We got our census data 9 months late. Blame COVID for that. Couldn't go knock on doors. Here's something I do want to tell you about. Take this opportunity. We are beginning public hearings around the state. In fact, 28 locations. And those public hearings about redistricting is the opportunity for all the citizens of Alabama that wish to have input into this process to get on the record. Looking at my list here, I see there will be a public hearing at Bishop State and in Mobile on the main campus on September the 8th at 9 a.m. There are others that are in your area, or at least down south, one in Dothan on September 2nd at 11 o'clock. Another public hearing at Troy, September 8th, 3 p.m. Let's see what else I got on my list here. Here's one in Bruton, September 9th, 2 o'clock. Here's hometown, Fairhope, Thursday, September 15th, 2 p.m. Jeff, you can go to Coastal Alabama at Centennial Hall, 2 o'clock on Thursday the 16th. And have your voice heard and be entered into the record. A court reporter will take down what you say. All that information will be submitted back to the redistricting office and be reviewed before maps are drawn. It's kind of a monumental effort we're putting together, but what we're trying to do, and our goal, is to allow any citizen to speak up and have their wishes heard.
Well, what goes on in these? Is it you have no idea? Or do you? I can't imagine showing up at one of these hearings, and then how would I add input to this discussion, or what would be my criteria for weighing in, I guess?
Well, you might show up at Fairhope and say, I don't care what you guys do, but get me out of Senator Elliott's district. Can't stand the guy. So draw Senator Elliott into somewhere else. You might do that. I don't think you'd do that since he's your champion.
He is our returning champion, yes.
Yeah, returning champion. And but a lot of times cities, mayors, and county commissioners will come in and say, look, we've got our city is split down the middle. And we've got two different senators to deal with, or three different representatives to deal with, and we'd like to see the lines moved over here and at least make it easier on us when we're communicating with our legislative delegation. We get all kinds, I did this 10 years ago, and we get all kinds of comments from the public on what their wishes are. And sometimes it's things that we can do if we're aware of, and sometimes there's things that just can't be done. But it does give you a chance to speak and be heard about probably one of the most important processes that happens in the legislative arena every decade. Every 10 years, we're required to redraw our map to get back to the one person, one vote ratio as close to it as we can because of population shifts. If nobody moved, nobody died, nobody was born, we wouldn't have to change the line. But our population does move around, and so things do change. Well, look at Baldwin County.
Yeah, it's grown.
Baldwin County has grown by, I think Senator Elliott told me that added 40,000 people down there. So a House seat is about 50,000 people, so that's almost an entire House seat. We're going to have to figure out how to get that done.
Senator, I hate to cut you short here, but we got to get to break. Always appreciate you coming on.
You got it, Jeff. It's always a pleasure. I love listening to your program.
Hey, let's talk again soon. Thank you. You're very, very kind to say that. State Senator Jim McClendon on the program here. Let's get a break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Excuse me, man, but where's the